الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة، فمن تركها فقد كفر، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, all of us will be well aware that we are very fast approaching what is referred to as Sayyidu Shuhur, the leader of the months of the Islamic calendar, that is the Mubarak and the blessed month of Ramadan. 2 months before the onset of Ramadan, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would already conscientize the ummah with regards to the value of Ramadan, wherein at the onset of Rajab, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would recite the dua: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That, O Allah, bless us in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban and cause us to remain alive for the month of Ramadan. However, my respected brothers, what is very, very important for us to understand and realize, that whilst there are certain occasions wherein the reward of good deeds are multiplied, wherein the clemency and the mercy and maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increased, to form this idea or this opinion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these blessed occasions. For example, recently we remembered the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a few days' time will be Shab-e-Barat and likewise Ramadan. This, even that person who is away from the masjid, person who has no deen in his life, he knows the value of Ramadan. He knows the value of Shab-e-Barat. He knows the value of Mi'rajun Nabi. He knows the value of Jumu'ah. But what is dangerous and what is incorrect is to formulate this idea or opinion that these blessed occasions are given to us so that we worship Allah only in these blessed occasions. And then the rest of the time is chutti, don't worry about it. One person came to Shibli rahimahullah and they asked him an interesting question. They said, Ayyuma afdal, Rajab am Sha'ban? They said, tell us which is more afzal, which is more virtuous. This, like they say in Urdu, afzal saab. Afzal saab, what does the word afdal in Arabic mean? More virtuous. So they said, tell us which is more virtuous, Rajab or Sha'ban? Now, while there is nothing wrong outwardly, if you look at this question, it's an innocent question. What is more virtuous? This act is more virtuous or that act is more virtuous? Where the problem comes about is when the person is asking the question with this intention. For example, is tahajjud more virtuous or is awabin more virtuous? Sometimes people ask questions like that. The problem will be where the motivation is that whichever one is more virtuous, I will do that and I will leave the other thing out. This is where the problem comes about. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه تليق. He said, do not belittle or look down or consider valueless any good deed. Even if it means meeting your brother with a smiling face, this is an act of reward. This is not something you should leave out. Doesn't mean something is more virtuous than the other, so we leave it out. Like someone asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, that when I am bathing in the stream, When I'm making ghusl in the stream, should my face be facing Qibla or my back? What is more afzal? So Imam Sahib told him, bhai, face your clothes, because if somebody steals it, then you are in a problem. Just don't worry too much about what is more afzal with this intention of leaving it out. They asked Shibli, he was a pious man. And with their piety and with their taqwa, Allah gave them that hikmat and wisdom. He understood what the problem was behind this question. Ayyuma afdal Rajab am Sha'ban? Tell me which is more virtuous, Rajab or Sha'ban? What was his response? He says, Kun rahbaniyan, la rajabiyan wala sha'baniyan. 24 hours of every day Allah is giving you air to breathe. 24 hours of every day Allah is raining down His ni'mat and His bounties upon you. Allah doesn't only give you food in Ramadan or in Sha'ban or in Rajab. Allah doesn't only shower His bounties upon you on the day of Jumu'ah. That Allah who is looking after you 24 hours of every day, become His devoted slave at all times. Don't become a Muslim of Rajab or a Muslim of Sha'ban or a Muslim of Ramadan or a Muslim of some big night. This is where we have convoluted, overturned the understanding or the perception behind why these occasions are given to us. We remember, for example, few days time will be Shab-e Barat, the various masajid. We'll find the first of all, the masjid on that particular night will get full. No problem with that. But the question we have to ask ourselves, my respected brothers, is the Isha namaz of the night of Barat only farz? What about the Fajr namaz the next morning? What about the Zohar and Asr Salah of the next day that is not farz? That only on Shab-e Barat will come to the masjid? Mi'raj, there's difference of opinion as to exactly when it took place. But that 27th of Rajab, all of a sudden there's ronak in the masjid. Allah Ta'ala has given us these occasions, not so that Allah is only worshipped in these occasions. These occasions are there for ibrat. These occasions are there for lesson. These occasions are there for haqaiq. There are certain haqaiq and realities linked and attached to each one of these occasions. It's my intention, because Shab-e Barat is in a few days, Mi'raj has passed, one or two haqaiq or realities of the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that unfortunately, year in and year out, Mi'raj will pass. But the ummah will not revisit those haqaiq, those realities. Many mu'arrikh of the opinion that this great mu'jiza and miracle which distinguished Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from amongst all the anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam formed a basis of consolation. There were three very, very heart-wrenching incidents that occurred prior to Mi'raj al-Nabi. One was, and what lesson we learned from that? We learned the value of this iman that Allah has given us. The value of this kalima that Allah has given us. Just the other night, two or three days ago, after Isha Salah, there was a program, one of our mashayikh, he mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time is coming, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا يُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. Such fitnas will enter the homes of the ummah. Such fitnas are coming, that people will have iman in the morning, by the evening will have become a kafir. Will have iman in the evening, by the morning will have become a kafir. What is iman? What is this kalima? What does it entail? This is miftahul jannah. This is the key to jannat. This is the key to eternal success. There is no wealth, no gold, no silver, no diamond, no investment, no wealth of this world that can compare with the wealth of iman. What greater lesson for that can we receive than the incident of Abu Talib, the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How many signs there were? Faqih Ablis, Allama Suyuti rahimullah, in his Qasaisi Kubra, he mentions one incident, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a 12-year-old boy, Abu Talib takes a delegation from Makkah, a trade delegation of the Quraysh, to Syria. On the way, they passed by an area where there was an ascetic, a famous monk. His name was Rahib. His name was Bukhaira. He was known as Bukhaira, the Rahib, the monk, the ascetic. This man had built a soma'a, an ibadat place, in a tree. And he worshipped Allah with total exclusivity for years and years, to the extent that no person had seen him in public. When this delegation of Abu Talib camps near where Bukhaira's worship place is, all of a sudden, Bukhaira comes in public for the first time in years, and he extends an invitation to this caravan of the Quraysh that I'm inviting you for meals. The people of the entire town are shocked. They say, this man has not interacted with the public in years, yet he has invited you all. You must be very special people. So what they do, they leave the 12-year-old boy Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to look after the camels. They present themselves around the tree of Bukhaira. He comes in public, looks at them. First question he asks, where is the youngster? So they respond and they say, we left him to look after the camels. He said, you fools, it is because of the youngster that I invited you all. Send for the youngster now. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. What has happened? It is midday. Very little shade. Whatever shade there was, the Quraysh was sitting in it. So the little boy now comes. There's no shade for him, sitting in the direct glare of the sunlight. No sooner he sat down, the clouds moved to cover the glare of the sun and to shade the body of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When this happened, Bukhaira addressed them. He said, did you observe what has happened now? Did you not observe that every tree, every stone, this youngster passed, made sajda to him and made salam to him? This is what would happen to the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he asked them the question, tell me, whose child is this? Abu Talib says, this is my child. Bukhaira says, you are speaking lies. My scriptures inform me that the father of this child passed away before his birth. This is not your child. Abu Talib says, no, he is my brother's son, but I love him more than my own children. I love him more than my own children. What does Bukhaira say? He says, I fear that the Jews, if they come to know about this youngster, may harm him on the way to Syria, take him back to Makkah Mukarramah. How many signs didn't Allah put in place for Abu Talib? The Quraysh of Makkah, they formed a delegation. They came to Abu Talib. They said, we are no longer prepared to accept the protection of your youngster, of your nephew, which you are giving. Tell him to stop what he is doing. Stop what? What did they have a problem with? Did they have a problem with the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Did they have a problem with his fasting? Did they have a problem with his ibadat? No, my respected brothers. In the cave of Hira, before Nubuwwat, days on end he would make ibadat. He was the most beloved person in Makkah. They would call him Amin. They would call him As-Sadiq, the trustworthy one, the truthful one. They venerated him. They looked up to him. What did they have a problem with? They had a problem with his da'wat. They had a problem with his tabligh. They had a problem with this effort of da'wat and tabligh. That is what they could not countenance him doing. That which today many of us have this perception or idea is something of barakat, is okay to leave it out. Sometimes ijtima takes place, we say, I'm not tablighi, I just out of curiosity came to the ijtima. This was the lifeblood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Understand it from this incident. They came to Abu Talib, they said, tell him to stop this, stop this. Abu Talib sends for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two riwayats. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one riwayat, what does he say? He says, oh my uncle, لَوُضِعَتِ الشَّمْسُ فِي يَمِينِي وَالْقَمَرُ فِي يَسَارِي. If the sun is put in my right hand, the moon is put in my left hand, then too I will not give this up. The other riwayat, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? مَا أَنَا بِأَقْدَرْ مِنْ أَنْ أَدَعْ مَا بُعِثْتُ بِهِ مِنْ أَنْ يُشْعِلَ مِنْ أَنْ يُشْعِلَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّمْسِ شُعْلَةَ نَارِ. Allahu Akbar. What does he say? He says, my uncle, it is easier that a flame of fire from the sun comes to the earth and burns my entire body. That I will tolerate, but I will never give up calling my ummah to Allah. And Abu Talib sees the determination. فَسْتُمَّسْتَعْبَرَ وَبَكَى The words come in the riwayat saying this. Allah's Rasul burst into tears. And Abu Talib sees this. He says, فَاسْتَعْ بِأَمْرِكَ لَمْ تُسِبْكَ صَبَابَةٌ وَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَقَدْ كُنْتَ قَبْلُ أَمِينًا وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ حَذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمِحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا What does Abu Talib say? He says, continue with what you are doing. No harm will come to you because you have always been truthful. And then Abu Talib says, I know the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of every religion. If it were not for the fear of the mocking and the taunts of the women of Quraysh, then out of the fear of death or out of the fear of old age, I had given up the religion of my forefathers. I would have openly accepted your religion. Taqdeer, his taqdeer was such. Abu Talib leaves the world with the words Ala Dini Abdul Muttalib on his lips. This was such a hurt, such a sadma, such a grief for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He understood what this meant. What did it mean? Inna ahwana ahli an-nari azaban la rajulun yuda'u fi akhmasi qadamayhi jamratan yaghli minhuma dimaghuhu. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on various occasions described the various types of punishment in Jahannam. Occasion of Jummah is too limited to go into details. Many places in the Quran, Allah describes Jahannam. إِنَّهَا لَظَى نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى تَدْعُو مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى فِي سَمُومٍ وَحَمِيمٍ وَظِلْ مِي يَحْمُومٍ لَا بَارِدٍ وَلَا كَرِيمٍ Allah says it is a raging fire. It will scorch and scorch the skin of man. Black vapors, boiling, fetid blood and pus. Such description is given of Jahannam that it is hair-raising. Amongst all the azabs of Jahannam, Allah's Rasul describes one particular azab in detail. He says one person will be called, two coals will be placed underneath his feet. Such will be the intensity of the heat of these two coals that his brains will start boiling. What will he think? ما يرى أن أحدا أشد منه عذابا. He will think to himself, no one is suffering more than me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, of all the chastisement and punishment of Jahannam, there is nothing that is lighter than this. There is nothing that is lighter than this. And this is what will be given to Abu Talib. Because of his years of khidmat, because of his love and devotion to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be given the lightest azab of Jahannam, but he will not be saved from Jahannam. It is Allah's sunnat. Abu Talib left this world on kufr and shirk. This is one sabak of Mi'raj. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting. Jibreel comes. Bukhari Sharif riwayat. He comes with the message, Ya Rasulullah, Khadija is coming to you. She has prepared some food for you. Allah has sent me, Jibreel, to you with a message. What message? Allah has sent me to convey his salam to Khadija. Allah has sent me to convey his salam to Khadija. Who was Khadija? The beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our first mother of Islam. What was her legacy of qurbani and sacrifice? She was the first person in this ummah to sacrifice everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She emptied her home for the maqsad of dawat and tabligh. What is the sabak and lesson? Every marriage of Islam till Qiyamah is given the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your wife is a partner with you in what? Today the wife is a partner in what? In keeping up with the James and Jones of society. In making sure that the next wedding is more ostentatious than the previous one. In making sure that the lounge suite matches the carpet matches the curtains. Like one person puts it nicely, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. A relentless rat race. What is our marriages? That is why it's like Jahannam to walk into the house. There's no peace, there's no chain. The foundation of the marriages of Islam, the foundation of the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the khidmat of deen. Khadija, ya Khadija, in qata ayyamun nawmi wal raha, He says, "O Khadija, the days of sleep and rest for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have come to an end. Man ad'u man yastajib." 360 idols in Ka'batullah. And Allah has given him the mission to establish the oneness of Allah, the Tawheed of Allah throughout humanity till Qiyamah. Man ad'u man yastajib. Who am I going to call? Who is going to listen? What is her response? Anta awwalu man tad'u. Ana awwalu man astajib. You'll be the first to give the da'wat. I will be the first to say labbaik on your da'wat. What kind of labbaik? She emptied her home. She gave everything. Salam from Allah came to Khadija. And then what does Jibreel say? She has suffered greatly for the sake of your deen. Ya Rasulullah, Allah has sent me with a message. Tell her. Her home in Jannat is already prepared. La sakhaba fihi wa la ta'ab. There will be no pain, no suffering, no difficulty, no hardship. The demise of Khadijatul Kubra. 3 years! 3 years! Of boycott in Shia Abi, Abi Talib. The beloved Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to witness this scene where his little baby Fatima radiallahu anha holding the dress of her mother and sobbing and crying, Ummi al-Atash, Ummi al-Atash, Ummi al-Atash, oh my mother, I'm thirsty, oh my mother, I'm thirsty, oh my mother, I'm thirsty. There was no food, there was no water, there was no provisions. This kind of suffering. Finally, Khadija succumbed in the 10th year of Hijrah. She passed away. Second sadma and grief. Third sadma and grief. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, Udhitu fillah ma lam yudha ahad. Ukhiftu fillah ma lam yakhaf ahad. Walaqad atat alayya 30 min bayni yawmi wa layla. مالي ولي بلال ما يأكله ذو كبد إلا ما يواري به ابت بلال أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I suffered for the sake of Allah more than any human being in the annals of history. I was made to fear more than any other human being. Imagine this. Examine the veracity of this. He says, from Adam alayhi salam to the last person to come before Qiyamah, no one will suffer like I suffered. No one will be made to fear like I feared. For the sake of this ummah. And then he explains, he said, they passed upon me and Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu 30 consecutive days. 1 month passed. And there wasn't sufficient for both of us to eat besides what Bilal radiallahu anhu could conceal underneath his armpits. That extent of suffering. And yet the riwayat is mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba. Our mother Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she's asking that person who suffered more than any other human being in the annals of history, what was the hardest day? What was the greater day of the greatest shadaid and suffering? More than any other human being, and all that, in all that, what was the day when you suffered the most? He said it was the day of Taif. 3 miles, stones raining down upon him. Dogs set upon him. Street urchins set upon him. The flesh of the body would swell up. The stones would continue coming till eventually the skin split open and then the blood started pouring. That blood, wallah, wallah, one drop of it is more valuable than all our lives put together. The land of Taif starts crying. The sky above Taif starts crying. Malaika start crying. Dajjatil Malaika, we find in the riwayat. Malaika start crying to witness this. The incident is lengthy, we know it, we know of it. I'm not going into the details. These 3, sadama and grief, many muarrikheen of the opinion, as consolation. After this, Jibreel presents himself. What does Quran tell us? Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. From masjid al-haram to masjid al-aqsa. The heavens have been decorated. Intizam have been made. Adam alayhi salam waiting on the first heaven. Yahya, Zakaria, Isa alayhi salam on the second heaven. Yusuf alayhi salam on the third heaven. Idris alayhi salam, fourth heaven. Harun alayhi salam, fifth heaven. Sixth heaven, Musa alayhi salam. Seventh heaven, Ibrahim alayhi salam. What is this distance? What is this distance? What is the vastness of it? We cannot even imagine it. No astronaut suit. No space outfit. No protection from the elements of the environment. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Allah with His Qudrat takes His beloved. How vast is this? Just a simple example. Very often I mention this. In 1981, there was a magazine published by a Christian organization in America under the name The Plain Truth. In it, they reproduced an article printed by NASA, January 1981 edition. NASA reports that of the universe that is visible, we can only see 3%. 97% is what we call the black hole. The density of the matter in the black hole is such that one tablespoon of it is more than the other 3% that is visible. From the 3% that is visible, there are so many stars, that if 1 second is given to name each star, it will take 300 trillion years just to name the stars. All this is sama'u dunya, underneath the first heaven. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَحِفْظًا. Stars are only found beneath the first heaven. Seven heavens above that. Then a sea. Then the hamilina arsh. Then the arsh of Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Time is stopped. The clock is stopped. He's taken through this entire space. He reaches the Sidratul Muntaha, the final point. Beyond this, no creation of Allah is mentioned. Qazi Ayaz rahimahullah mentions the riwayat. Jibreel says to him, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot go further. If I go further one hair's breadth, my entire wujud will be burned to ashes. Only permission is given for you. Alone, he ventures beyond that point. Qazi Ayaz rahimahullah mentions the riwayat in his Shifa. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Faraqani Jibreel. Faraqani Jibreel. Jibreel left me. Wanqata'atil aswat. There was total, complete silence. Obviously there will be silence. He has reached that point, no creation of Allah has ever been. Naturally, he becomes afraid. All of a sudden, فَسَمِعْتُ كَلَامَ رَبِّي فَسَمِعْتُ كَلَامَ رَبِّي. I heard the kalam of my Allah. لِيَهْدَ رَوْعُكْ يَا حَبِيبِي أُدْنُ Udnu, udnu. Do not be afraid, O my beloved. Do not be afraid, O my beloved. Venture even further. Venture even further. Venture even further. Kamale qurb. That qurb with Allah, no creation has ever come close to that. Conversation takes place. Like I said, there's no time to go into details. What is the sabak of Miraj? Read the details of Miraj. We've heard it. Various masajid, he saw this azab, he saw that ni'mat of jannat, this guna, that sin. We hear all these things. What is the sabak? What is the lesson? What was he given? What was he given? And on this I will terminate. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, great muhaddis, he puts it beautifully. He says, لِلْعَبْدِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ مَوْقِفًا مَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فِي صَلَاتِهِ وَمَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَوْمَ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. He says, for the slave of Allah, for the ghulam of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are two occasions when he will be reminded of Mi'raj. There are two occasions when he will present himself in Allah's court. What is the first occasion? Five times every day. Five times every day when the muazzin calls out the azan is a reminder of Mi'raj. Because what is that call? What is that call? That call is an invitation to present yourself in Allah's court. Because every boundary, every obstacle, every distance between us and Allah, the moment you say Allahu Akbar is removed. You are in direct munajat. You are in direct communion with Allah. فَمَنْ قَامَ بِحَقِّ الْمَوْقِفِ الْأَوَّلِ. That is the one occasion. When is the second occasion? On the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, everyone will have to stand in Allah's court. So he says, the one who fulfills the haqq of the first standing five times every day in salah. هُوِنَ عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْقِفِ الْآخَرِ. The second standing on the Day of Judgment will be made easy. Jannat guaranteed. Pulsirat, speed of lightning. The contract, the distinction between us and them, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, between iman and kufr is salah. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ kafar. The one who will not be regular with his salah, he has made kufr. Fulfill the haqq of the first standing. The second standing will be made easy. وَمَنْ إِسْتَهَانَ بِهَذَا الْمَوْقِفِ وَلَمْ يُوَفِّ حَقَّهُ شُدِّدَ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ الْمَوْقِفِ. Ibn al-Qayyim says, if you will make a mockery out of this first standing, One is those who won't even come. Then there are those who come but they are not even there. Up, down, kiss the ground, turn around, don't even know what we have done. He says, make a mockery of this standing, and the second standing will be made difficult for you. Allah protect us. Sabak of Miraj, lesson of Miraj. These occasions are for what? Shab-e-Barat is coming, Ramadan is coming. What is the haqiqat? What is the reality? At least this much. At least this much sabak of Miraj, take that every time that azan is called out, it is a reminder of Miraj. It is a call to present ourselves in the court of Allah. And every one of us, take this much lesson that we make tawbah, and we make this sincere intention that from now till I die, 5 times salah with jamaat I will make, inshallah. Everyone say inshallah. Then we have understood the reality. Otherwise, my respected brothers, we are not an ummah of occasions. We are not an ummah. Jummah we worship Allah, other times we don't worship Allah. Big night we worship Allah, other times we don't worship Allah. That is not deen, that is not shariat, that is a mockery of deen and shariat. Allah protect us. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.